God is the creator and maker of all things in heaven and in earth. So God is still in control. And we need to be thankful each and every time God lets us to wake up and get up. We need to thank Him for it. We need to be ever thankful to God, for He has done so much for us. This morning, it's good to see all of you. It's good to be here. And it's good to be a child of God. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Oh, blessed Heavenly Father, You are so kind and wonderful to us. You display so much love and You just cover us with all the blessings that You see fit for us, oh Lord. Sometimes, Lord, it behooves us to ask the question, why are You so good to me, Father? But we know that You are full of compassion, full of grace, and full of mercy, and full of love. And we thank You, Father, for that. This morning, as we come before the footstool of Thy mighty throne, we want to thank You, O Lord, for blessing us and giving us Your Son, Jesus. And we want to praise His name, O Heavenly Father. We thank You this morning for the leaders of this congregation. We thank You for the members of this congregation and all of their families as well. We just pray and thank You, O Heavenly Father, that as we go through our services this morning, that things would be found decent and acceptable to You, O Lord. We pray and thank You, Father, for those who are here, and we're praying for those who still may be on the way, that if it be Your will, O Lord, that You would get them here safely. We pray for those who may be traveling today and are far away from home. We pray that You would give them safe passage back once again, that they may come out to be with all of the brothers and the sisters of this congregation or whatever congregation of the Church of Christ they belong to. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all You do for us. And we thank You mostly, O Heavenly Father, because one day You sent Your Son down to this earth to hang, to bleed, and to die, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything that You do for us. And as we pray this morning, we want to take a moment to ask You to bless those who are sick and those who are shut in, those who may be at home sick, those who may be in the hospital sick. We pray for those behind prison bars as well. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those You have blessed to be well enough to come out to Your services this morning. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. And Father, we just may as well be content with whatever Your will is, because that is Your will. And thank You, O Heavenly Father, and I pray, O Heavenly Father, for the streets around this city, O Lord, that they may become less dangerous. And we pray for those families who have lost their children, O Lord, and we just continue to pray and ask You to bless us all and be with us. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we continue to move on into these services, we pray that You would be with us and watch over and keep us. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, let us all say, Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 and verse number 17. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." This morning we want to talk about that power of God. The feeling of many is that of disbelief when it comes to the power of God and in the gospel. Some of us go as far as being ashamed of the gospel. The word ashamed means to be embarrassed or humiliation. But there are some things in my life that I'm ashamed of, but it's certainly not the power of God. And it never will be one of them. I am ashamed of myself at times for doing, saying, or acting in ways that are all not what I stand for. I often feel ashamed by the way of some people behave, especially those who are not close to me, those who are close to me. There's too much power in God to ever cause me to be ashamed of His works or His will. And I certainly will never be ashamed of the gospel. In this text of Romans 1:16, it speaks of how that everyone who believes, whether Jew or Gentile, salvation is available to them. The power of God, which without this power, the gospel would be a dead issue. But isn't it right, church, that God came down, Jesus came down, hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. So let us consider the gospel for a moment. The gospel has both a face and a name. The name is Jesus the Christ. He is probably the world's most recognized, has the most recognized face in the world. But he is also not followed by but a few. When you examine his work record and his accomplishments, one shall then see how wonderful and how powerful he really is. He was born of a virgin birth. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on a cross. He is the most traveled person of all times because he left heaven, came to earth, went back to heaven once again. That's traveling, church. He is the bearer of good news. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1 and through verse number 4. The writer starts with the text this way. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand." Here the writer is telling the people of that time, "I have already preached this to you consistently. There is but one gospel. He preached so, and so should we." But in verse number 2, he says, "By which ye are saved, if you keep in memory what is preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." He spoke how that he preached what should save, what would save them, and then it would save us too if we believe, but believe not in vain. If we stay in this belief and keep the faith, we must not deny the power in the Word of God. In verse number 3, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." The same gospel that the writer received, the Corinthian writer received, he was delivering it to the people of that day. Jesus died for our sins. Watch Romans chapter 4 and the verses number 25. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "And that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel of Christ is the power of God, and it is good for us to know the Lord. Do you know the Lord this morning? If you don't know him, you ought to consider that he is someone you should get to know. If you don't know him, if you do know him and you're not in a good relationship with him, then you need to get in a form a better relationship with him. So look at the text once again. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." So I ask the question this morning, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So it covers everybody, the gospel does. So you need to get into Christ if you're not already into Christ. What is the purpose of the gospel? Christ died a horrible death. He suffered shame and he suffered humiliation, all to save us. His purpose was to bring sinful man closer to the power of forgiveness. His sacrifice was what caused us to be able to come closer to Jesus, to the Lord, our Savior, and Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, after his resurrection, I want you to notice his outreach program, if you will. He instructed his disciples to "go ye into the world and preach the gospel." Christ is the gospel, the good news, and he is our Savior who wants men to come to him. The world has known and seen many inventions, but all of them combined can't raise someone from the grave nor give eternal life. But through the power of God, Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead. The power of God can cause the sick to become well, cause a thief to become an honest person. The power of God can fix a broken marriage. Never should anyone be ashamed of the gospel. Tell me, what do you have to be ashamed of? Are you ashamed that Jesus died on yonder's cross? Or are you ashamed that the gospel is preached that every man may be saved? What can you be ashamed of about that? What is it that you are ashamed of? What is it that bothers you that caused you to become ashamed or be ashamed of the gospel? I ask the question this morning. If you don't know Christ once again, you need to get to know Him. He suffered from the very beginning of His ordeal of going to the cross. He suffered through a trial that today would be considered a miscarriage of justice because there were false witnesses against Him. His suffering is beyond what most minds can conceive. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, the Bible says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. His face was spit in, according to Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 27. And this all occurred even before the crucifixion had begun on the cross. It was on the cross where He died for our sins. It was on the cross where His hand and feet were nailed to the cross. All of this was because He was saving sinful man. This was the power of God at work. He was taken down, placed in a tomb where He got up and walked out of the grave. I tell you, church, there's something wonderful about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's something wonderful about the power of God. There's something wonderful when you can feel and when you can have the power of God working in your life. And I know sometimes, even as Christians, we get beside ourselves. And we ask the question sometimes, why me, Lord? And the question becomes, Lord, if it wasn't for You, I couldn't make it another day. But sometimes, Lord, I wonder why You put such heavy burdens on my shoulders. Well, we're going to have burdens in this life. We have to bear our crosses. Isn't that right, church? Sometimes I just think to myself and I ask myself, Lord, what would I do without You? What would I do without You? Where would I be? And then I remember that song sometimes that years ago people used to sing. I used to hear my grandmother sing, and I personally don't know the song, but she would sing something about the old rugged cross. And I began, as I grew up, I began to remember her words, and I said to myself, I know what the old rugged cross is now. I understand a little better about the old rugged cross. I understand what Jesus must have went through on the cross. And He didn't go through it for Himself. He went through it for us, church. So when I ask you this morning about that relationship that you ought to have with Jesus, you ought to remember that without God, we would be nowhere and we would be nothing. But then there was, not only was there a crucifixion and Jesus was buried in a grave, but there was another part to the gospel, and that was the resurrection. The resurrection. Never does anyone need to be ashamed of the gospel, nor be doubtful of the power of God. As I said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 4, according to the Scriptures, He rose again on the third day. No one has ever to be ashamed because our God is no longer in that grave. How do you know, somebody may say? Well, because I believe in the Word of God. In the verses of 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 5 through verse number 8. Listen to the witnesses who've seen Him. Some, by some eyewitness who've seen Him. Cephas saw Him in verse number 5 in the 12 apostles. In verse number 6, He was seen of more than 500 brethren at one time. In verse number 7, James saw Him. Then all of the apostles saw Him. And lastly, Paul saw Him. What does it mean for us? It means that because He got up, we too can live. Jesus said in John chapter 14 in verse number 19, because I live, ye shall live also. All because of the power of God. We shall get up one day. Some shall rise to be with God. Others shall rise to spend their eternity without God. The only thing on our minds today is, am I ready to meet Him? Or am I hoping that He will not come again? Well, I can tell you, you're hoping against all hope. Because He will come again. It's a non-issue because according to John 14, verse number 2 and verse number 3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then in verse number 3 says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be. Will you prepare to meet Him today, or will you just hang out and ask and pretend to yourself that God doesn't exist? And you know something? God exists, and He exists for the young as well as the old. He exists for the Greek as well as the Gentile. And you say, preacher, I'm not a Jew, but you are a Gentile if you're not a Jew. So just remember, it exists for all of us. So when I look back at the text once again, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse number 17, for therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith as it is written. The just shall live by faith. How well are you in faith? How faithful are you? And I don't mean being faithful to come to church. I mean, that's part of it. But I mean, how faithful are you to the Lord? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you trust with all your heart and soul in the Lord? Do you trust God to be the God of, and there is none other? Or do you say, well, there may be another one somewhere? Or are you like some others who say, well, I just don't believe there's any anywhere? So think to yourself, before you go off in a tantrum, I want you to look at something, if you will, with me over in Isaiah. Over in Isaiah chapter 53. Chapter 53, verses 5. We read verse 5 already. But look at verse number 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But now we'll do verse 5 again. But He was wounded for our transgression, and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And look at verse number 6. This part I want you to notice. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, my shoulders were not broad enough to carry the weight that Jesus carried. Neither are yours. But Jesus did it all for us. So then again, the question becomes, how well are you trusting in the Lord? How well is your relationship with the Lord? How well are you doing in serving the Lord? How well, the question becomes, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's the power of God, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed? I ask you a question this morning, that if you are ashamed, what will you do on the judgment day? If you are ashamed now, how will you be in the day of judgment? How will you get up in the day of judgment? If you're not living right today, you're not going to get up right unless you change your ways. And somebody may say to themselves, well, I think I'm living right. How do I know if I'm living right? Well, are you following Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Him? Do you trust in Him? Do you have faith in Him? Do you live your life for Him? Now, I tell you, none of us are perfect, including me, including the elders, including the rest of you. None of us are perfect. I have faults. You have faults. Everybody has faults. You know something? There's something on all of our plates. And when you look at it, how do you decide, or how do you know if you are living right for God? Well, the one thing you can ask yourself, if I can't handle it by myself, I ought to go to the Lord with it. And do you trust the Lord enough to go to Him with it? You know, when you think about it, we are trusting in the Lord with our very lives because He saved our lives. And He gives us an opportunity to have everlasting life. But when you go to Him, I've done this before and maybe you have too. Lord, can you take care of this situation that's going on with me? And then the next couple of days, I got it, Lord. I got it. You don't say it that way, but you go back and you take it back from Him. Why are you giving it to Him? If you don't trust Him, why are you not trusting in the Lord? Are you ashamed of the gospel? It's the power of God at work. So when you ask yourself that question, am I willing to give my entire being unto the Lord? Am I willing to trust Him? Am I willing to become buried in the watery grave of baptism and raised up with Him, a new creature? You know, there are some folk who don't understand the Church of Christ. They say the Church of Christ, is nothing but a denomination. That's what they say. That's what some folks say. But we're different than being a denomination. We got Scripture in the Bible that teaches us about the Church of Christ. We got Scriptures in the Bible that show us how the Church was purchased. We got Scriptures in the Bible that tell us who paid for and who built the Church. It was built by Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I will build my Church. And then He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then He said, then the Bible goes on to tell us that it was purchased with His own blood. How many of us have given blood to purchase a church? I tell you something. I don't like giving blood. I'm afraid of needles. I don't mind saying that. There are two things in this world that really frightens me. That's a doctor and a dentist's needle and a snake. Those two things I'll jump out of my skin against. But I tell you something. I trust in the Lord. I don't do everything right because I'm not all right. I'm trying to get all right. I'm trying to get there, but I do trust Him. I trust Him. I trust Him enough to trust Him with my life because He gave His life in exchange for my life and your life. That's the power of God. So when I think about it, I want to ask you one last question before I close. Let me rephrase this. Fathers, would you have sent your son into this world to die for somebody else? And then when you can answer that question with an affirmative of yes, then maybe you'll understand the concept of God sending His only begotten Son into this world to save others. Not saving Himself, but to save others. So therefore I say to you this morning, don't ever be ashamed of the gospel. When I was a young man and my grandmother used to offer to take me to church, I didn't like going to church. I didn't know why, but I just didn't like it. I didn't like it, and I'll tell you, I came from the South, and we used to have to walk the dusty roads sometimes to get to, it was a little small church back in the woods, and we'd have to walk to get there. Later when I grew up and I discovered I was introduced to the Church of Christ, I realized maybe that's why I didn't like that other church, Maybe not only did I not know better at that time, but I learned better and I try to do better. When you learn better, you're supposed to try to do better. And then came the day when I decided I'm going to be baptized now. Oh, what a great day that was in my mind for me. For me it was. Because I went down in the watery grave of baptism. And when I came up, I was a new creature in Christ. I still looked the same. I put back on the same clothes I had on. But I was different on the inside. And that's what being a member of the body of Christ is all about. Being connected with Christ, you become new on the inside. Old things are passed away. So somebody may be asking the question, how do I get there? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And when you get baptized, you don't get baptized because your mother and your grandmother wanted you to. You get baptized for the remission of sin, that you may become this new creature in Christ. But if you've been walking astray, and let me tell you something about walking astray. As I told you, none of us are perfect. And any of us can walk astray at any moment. It's just a matter of how well upright you walk before you fall. Because if you're walking upright and you fall, you can always ask the Lord to forgive you and put you back in the straight and narrow, give you strength and faith to keep you on the right road. But if you were walking wrong and you failed, you're just wrong. So let me say this to you. If you were walking wrong and you're already a member of the church, but you went astray, you ask the Lord for forgiveness, ask the church to pray for you, and then walk forward and stand and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength and that you may be able to continue on your way. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.